Blog Talk Radio.
Walking the Talk Radio every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, with your host, the Northern Belle, playwright Andrea Carr. Tune in, join us, let's get talking. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Walking the Talk Radio. I am your host, the Northern Belle, Andrea J. Carr. It's such a pleasure to talk to you this morning, to be here this morning. It's a great Saturday morning, May 26, 2018. Happy birthday, everybody. Happy anniversary. Happy wedding day. Congratulations. Graduations. Babies being born. Promotions. New homes. New adventures. New cities. It's so great to spend my morning with you this morning. I just wanted to take a few minutes to have a conversation about why bad things happen to me, or to you, or to we, or to us. Why do bad things happen? We're going to look at that today. I just wanted to thank everybody who's been supporting the WIC Ministries. I really appreciate it. Word in the House Ministries, where we come to you every Tuesday night with a live Bible study. I'll get that information out to you. I don't think I have it today, but it's every Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m., it's a conference call number. You just call in, and we spend an hour and a half talking about, well, the series we're doing right now is called Managing Your Emotions. And we've dealt so far with joy and abandonment. And, boy, so many enlightening things. We have homework to do. It's just a lot, and it's very helpful. The other thing is, too, that our emotions come out. So we've been seeing a lot of emotions that we're not used to seeing because we bury them and pretend they're not there. So we've actually been dealing with some emotions, and it's really, really good. You need to deal with your emotions as they happen so that way you don't bury them or sweep them under the rug or put them in a closet, because you never know when they're going to either implode or explode. So join us every Tuesday with Ministries, Word in the House Ministries. It's definitely family ministry. We come together first as a family, and then we open up ourselves to you guys so that way we can all share. And it's not just us talking. We definitely have those callers that call in, and they share their testimony, share what they're going through, ask questions. It's very interactive, and it's very helpful, very beneficial. I'm not just saying that because it's a ministry that we're all participating in. I'm being really honest with it. It really is a very good blessing. The call-in number is 712-451-1256. Again, that number is 712-451-1256. And the access code is 745-848-POUND. That's 745-848-POUND. So Tuesday night, Eastern Time, 7:30 p.m., call in that number, put in the access code, and join us, because we're in the midst of a 12-week study on emotions, and we're actually going to be on week 3 this week coming up, and it deals with fear. We also have the links for joy and for abandonment. I'll be posting those on my Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, everywhere I can. Because they are definitely helpful. And also, you can email us at WITH, Word in the House, WITH Ministries, the number 1, at gmail.com, and we can send you the participant guides from the last 2 weeks and the upcoming one for this Tuesday, if you would like. We definitely want to share information with you all. Okay, so today we're talking about why bad things happen to me. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father God, we come to you this morning. Lord God, we're asking for your wisdom and your guidance, Lord God, that you would direct our steps, Lord God, and help us down this path that we call life. Father, let us never get caught up so much in the journey that we don't enjoy the process. Even when they're bad things, even when they're negative things, Lord God, help us to enjoy each and every moment, second, hour, day, month, week, and year of our lives, Lord God. Let us be appreciative and grateful for what you have blessed us with, Lord God, and not so concerned with what we don't have, Lord God. Father, right now I'm praying for anyone who's had loss in their lives, Lord God, whether it was through death, divorce, separation, Lord God, whether it was loss of property, an item, Lord God, loss of emotions, Lord God, a broken heart. Father, I'm just asking that you would touch people right now where they are and fill them, heal them, complete them, comfort them, restore them, renew them, rebirth them, Lord God, renew their minds, Lord God, renew their hearts. Renew their desires and their visions, their dreams, their goals, their aspirations, Lord God. Give them determination to continue on. Even though they fall, Lord God, allow them to be picked up. Let them get up another time and try it again, Lord God. Help us to dust off those negative emotions, those negative feelings, and replace them with positivity, Lord God. Father God, we thank you for every listener. We thank you for every person who wanted to be here but couldn't. Lord God, and we ask that you would see about them, Lord God. Pour into them, Lord God. Now, as for me, I hide behind you, Lord God, and ask that you would have your way in this session, and that you would say what it is that you want to say so that we will all be better for having listened to your word. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So here we go. Why do bad things happen to me? I know we all go through it. We all feel it. We all feel as though sometimes we're just stuck in a rut. We're caught in this process of a storm, and we just can't get out. And it feels like every time we have a victory, something happens. We can't even enjoy the victory. We can't even enjoy coming out. We can't even enjoy a fresh breath because right away something else happens. And we look around, and it seems as if other people don't go through what we go through. It's like they're just going through life, la, 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 going through the daisies and the lilies and the tulips and the roses. And we're sitting here and it's cloudy and dark and storm clouds and lightning bolts and thunder. But they just don't seem to be affected. It looks like that. It's not necessarily the case. There are people who go through things, but you'll never know. Number one, some people wear masks. And number two, there's some people who don't let it affect them. They won't let it stop them. They keep moving. So we need to get to a place where we do not wear a mask because we don't want to lie about it. We don't want to pretend. But we want to get to a place where we keep pushing, we keep moving. We don't have the woe is me attitude. We breathe life into people. We breathe life into ourselves. We breathe life into circumstances. So why do bad things happen to you? Let's look at it because maybe if you have some understanding, maybe then it will help you to get past it and get through it, push through and keep going. So that way you can accomplish what you need to accomplish. And by accomplishing what you need to accomplish, you pick other people up and pull them up to your level. And that way you have an accomplishment there that's even bigger than you. And it's something I'm working through because I wear my emotions on my sleeves. I mean, on my face, on my nails, on my, you could just see it. Everything I'm going through, you can see it. But I'm getting to a place now where I'm fighting to not allow it to hinder me or stop me. I need to keep pushing. And the reason why I need to keep pushing is because I have so much to accomplish. And I'm looking at the other side of 20. I don't want to be in my feelings and in my circumstances and trials and tribulations and situations, not accomplishing anything because time is of the essence. It's important. And these things need to be taken care of. So we can't let the negative things keep us from accomplishing what we have to accomplish. Okay? We're looking today at Genesis. You should be able to find it if you have your Bible. I'm using the New King James Version. Genesis is the first book. It's very easy to find, hopefully. We're going to be looking at chapters 37, 39 through 50. briefly, in your own time, I would ask that you would read the story of Joseph. It's so powerful. It's one of my favorite stories. And my children and my family and my friends will tell you that I liken myself to Joseph a lot. Like, I feel like Joseph a lot. Not that I put this on myself. It's just with circumstances and situations, I identify with two people in the Bible more than any others, and it's Joseph and it's David. But I really do feel like Joseph, like I have a purpose. And my purpose is to make sure that my family, those connected to me, reach their goals and get to where they need to get to. And I'm a hindrance when I don't do what I have to do, and I know that. So that's something I'm trying to get over. So the book of Genesis has 50 chapters, and it ends talking about Joseph and how they came up in the land of Egypt. Love the story of Joseph. As a matter of fact, one of my daughter's favorite movies is on Netflix, I think, still. It's the King of Dreams, Joseph, King of Dreams. And it's a cartoon, and it's really, really good. It really gives you a good look at what this story is about. If you ever want to take the time to watch it or show it to your children, it definitely is good. Now, still read the Bible because it's, of course, not 100% accurate, and there's a lot of information that's left out. But this is one of my favorite stories. So when you have a chance this week, Genesis 37, then pick it up again at 39 through 50, and that's the story of Joseph. So let's look at Joseph. And because we don't have time to read all those chapters and all those verses, I wanted to summarize this based on why bad things happen to me. Why do they happen? I wanted to take a look at some of the things about Joseph. We know that Joseph was born to his dad, Jacob, and Jacob favored him. Now, one of the things I always talk about, it's not good to have favorites. Definitely not good, because kids feel it. Kids feel when you have a favorite child. So I tell my story all the time. I don't have favorites, and it's the truth. Even though they, each one of them, think that they're my favorite, I don't have a favorite. Here's why. I love them all the same, but I also love different things about them, just as I detest some things about them too. There's some things that get under my skin, so there's no way I could have a favorite, because just when you might be shining, then you do something and I'm looking at you sideways. So there is no favoritism there. You need to be very careful not to be to be partial to one child over another, because then they compete for your attention. They resent their other sibling or other siblings. It's unfair. So I'm speaking to my parents, even grandparents. Don't say, oh, that's my favorite. Don't do that. And don't do things for one that you're not willing to do for the other. I don't know why this is on my heart to say today, but I wanted to say it. It's something that later on in life will affect those kids. It'll affect the children, and you may no longer be there. But this is where we pick up the story, because Joseph was favored by his father. I believe it's because Jacob loved Rachel so much, and Rachel had Joseph and Benjamin. Benjamin wasn't born yet, but I really, really, really believe because Jacob loved this wife so much more than his other wife that he favored her first child. And because of it, he would do things for Joseph that he would not do for his other sons. He kept Joseph underneath him. He sent his sons out to work the land, to till the land, to bring in the money, to do the hard labor. Joseph was one that studied. He was an educated son. He stayed under the father, learning the ways of God and learning the ways of the world and learning what to do, but he was learning it through books, while his brothers were learning about life through work and being out and about. And he also gave Joseph a coat of many colors, and he didn't do that for any of his other sons. So imagine you're a child and you're working and doing, and there's this child laying up being coddled by your mother or coddled by your father, getting fed and not having to work and just laying on their bum bum, and you're sitting there working, and they're depending on you to do the work, and they're depending on you, always fussing at you, picking on you. Pretty much that's what's happening in this story. And so the brothers grow a resentment toward Joseph. They really don't like him. There's a distance between them because they see the favoritism. Jacob doesn't hide it. He keeps it right in their face. And so this is why I'm cautioning you not to do it, because the way that Jacob treated Joseph is the reason why the brothers plotted and planned against him. But we'll learn more about that in a few seconds. So not only did they already dislike him because the father showed favoritism, but Joseph had a dream. And in the dream, basically, to summarize it, he was saying that his brothers bowed down to him. So they already don't like him. And now he's dreaming dreams when they're going to be servants. I put that in quotes because they weren't. They were just bowing down, meaning that he was over them. That's really going to make them hate him, right? You're telling me that this guy that does no work, he's a slacker as far as I'm concerned. He's laying up under daddy. He's just learning by books, but he's not doing anything. But we have to bring in everything we do and share it with this kid. Now you're telling me that he thinks he's over me? Oh, yeah. There was definite animosity. There were definite issues. But then he had a second dream. And in the second dream, not only did the brothers in the dream, because I believe it was stars and then the moon and the sun that bowed down in the second dream, it represented the brothers and now the father and the mother bowing down to Joseph. And so the kids, the brothers, were angry because we just heard about one dream where you say we bow down to you. Now you have another one. Now mom and dad are doing it, or your mom and dad are doing it. And so there's an issue. There's a problem. Now there's like a hatred that starts festering. This is why you've got to be careful about favoritism. It starts out fun until somebody gets hurt. And parents, we are the ones that control this. If you treat your children equally, if you do for all or you do for none, that's beneficial. Because what you don't want is for your children to resent each other. You don't want your children to be jealous of each other or envious of each other. You don't want a hatred to stir. And I've seen so many siblings that go through it because of the parent. And so, parents, we've got to be more responsible. You've got to take time for each one. One of the things I'm working on this year is spending more time with my son. I spend time with the girls because I'm a girl, so I like doing girly things. But there's also another side to me that's a tomboy. And I realize, as my son being the only male in this family right now, that I need to step up and do things that he likes doing. And he needs my time by himself, as does each one of my daughters. Besides us doing things as a family, each one needs my time and total attention, not that I'm taking you out and I'm be on my phone every 5 seconds or we're going to do something I want to do and knowing you don't want to do it. I know my son's like video games, and I know he kind of sort of likes basketball. He kind of sort of thinks he can play basketball better than me. So I'm going to kind of sort of have to go take him out on the court and show him what it really is. That's the stuff you need to do. And single moms who have sons, learn what it is your son likes and go do it with them. I know you got a million things going on and you may have other children and other responsibilities and work and support, but you have to take that time. You've got to nurture your kids. Now, mine are 14, 13, and 23. We've done a lot as a family, but I now am seeing where they definitely, definitely need their individual time. And you want to do it before it's too late, because when they go off to college, they have a different life. Even in high school, they have a separate life. So take the time now. I don't know why this has been on my mind, but I wanted to share it with you. Okay, let's get into the meat of the message. Why bad things happen. You think you're going through some things in your life, and you probably are. I know I've gone through it. I'm going through it, probably will go through it a little bit longer, but I can't wait for breakthrough. This has been one of the longest, toughest seasons. And it has not lasted a couple of weeks or a couple of months. These are some years. We're talking about from 2016. I'm waiting to see some relief, and we're in 2018. 2016 probably was one of the worst years of my life, except for the year I lost my dad and the year I lost both of my aunts. This was probably 2016, the worst, worst. Don't ever want to see that year. And 27 was very close behind it. 2018, even though things aren't going the way I would want them to go, is definitely a better year. I definitely could breathe a little bit more, and I've actually put some goals into place to help me to do better in the years to come. So let's see. So you have things going on in your life.
you have negative things, you have problems, you have situations and circumstances that you're not comfortable with. Well, let's look at Joseph. He was pushed into the pit. And remember, we're looking at Genesis 37 and then 39 through 50. He was pushed into the pit, Genesis 37:24. If you'll write that down and look at it in your own time of study. He was taken by the traitors. That's Genesis 37:28. He was taken by the traitors. He was sold to the slave master. Genesis 39:1. He was sold to the slave master. He was accused by the adulteress. He was accused by the adulteress. Genesis 39:14-18. He was placed in the prison. He was placed in the prison. Genesis 39:20. He was placed in the prison. And he was disremembered in the dungeon. He was disremembered in the dungeon. Genesis 40:23. Genesis 40:23. Joseph was pushed into the pit by his brothers. They were angry with him. His father said, go see about them. This was after the coat of many colors. This was after the two dreams. He went to see about them. They got angry, and they pushed him into the pit because their idea was to kill him. But here's what I want to say about this. Even though Joseph was going through the trials he was going through, God never left him. Look at it. Even though he was pushed into the pit, and his brothers wanted to kill him. Chapter 37:21 says, but Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. The brothers' plan, nine of them at that time? Reuben would have been 10, Joseph would have been 11, and then Benjamin would be 12. Benjamin's not present in this part of the story. So nine brothers wanted to kill him. They said, let's get rid of him and blame it on a wild animal. Reuben said, and Reuben was the oldest, he said, let's not kill him, but rather let's sell him. No, I'm sorry, he didn't even say that. I apologize. Reuben said, let's not kill him. Just leave him down there and let's think about it. Because Reuben's plan was once they got tired and walked off, left off, or fell asleep, whatever they would do, he was going to take Joseph out and bring him back to his father. Reuben was the one that God sent to save Joseph. He said, let's not kill him. So even though getting pushed into the pit was bad, it could have been worse. And this is what I want to share with someone today. What you're going through is bad, but God's hand is on you because it could be worse. And I have to keep reminding myself of that. Even though you may have gone through divorce and it hurts, it's bad, but it could have been worse because you could have stayed in what you were in and it could have become abusive. It could have become more angry. It could have become more selfish. You don't know what that situation was going to be. But because God's hand is on you, you were spared the full brunt of what it could have been. Let's see. He was taken by the traitors. He was sold to the slave master. It says in chapter 39, verse 2. Now remember, Genesis 39:1, he was sold to the slave master. In verse 2 it says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So even though he was sold to the slave master, Potiphar saw that Joseph was good. He saw that God favored him, that God's hand was on him, and that Everything Joseph did was made to prosper, so he put Joseph in charge of his home, put him in charge of everything except his wife. Everything Joseph ran. So even though he was taken by traitors and sold to the slave master, God was still working in Joseph. His hand was still on Joseph. And that's for somebody today. Even though you're going through it, God's still smiling on you. He still has favor with you, favor for you, favor on you, favor around you, so that it's not as bad as it could be. Let's continue. He was accused by the adulteress. That was Potiphar's wife. She wanted Joseph. Joseph was a fine, sexy thing right there. And she wanted to sleep with him, even though she was married to his boss. She wanted him. But Joseph did the right thing and said, I'm not sleeping with you. I respect this man. He gave me a job. He put me in charge of all of this. I'm not going to, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm not going to mess that up in order to sleep with you. Let me say it. Ooh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Let me say it the right way. He said, I'm not going to give up all I have for a quick moment of lust. And that's for somebody today. You want what you want, and it's not going to benefit you. You want that quick, okay, it may not be quick, but you want that moment, that activity. And I'm not just talking about sex, whatever it is. You know it's not good for you. You know it's not going to benefit you. So why sacrifice everything you've been through, everything you have, everything you're going through for that quick moment, for that moment in time? It's not worth it. There's no benefit in it. Let's continue. He was accused by the adulteress. He was placed in the prison. But even him being placed in the prison, Genesis 39:20, in 21 it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So even though he was accused, he was lied on. She lied on him, because when he didn't give it up, she was holding on him so tight, and he ran so fast that she held on to his jacket, what he was wearing. And she lied and said he tried to rape her. That's what caused him to go to prison, because she told everybody. And then when her husband came home, she came up with this elaborate story of how Joseph tried to seduce her, tried to rape her. And he became angry, and he threw Joseph into the pit. Joseph didn't do anything. He did the opposite. He didn't sleep with her. He didn't try her. He moved on. He said no. But because she wanted him so badly, and she couldn't handle rejection, and she couldn't handle not getting what she wanted, she decided to lie on him. And we have to be careful, people, with the people in our lives, people around us that are rejected. You've got to be very careful of lying on people. We were just talking about this with everything that's going on in the world and social media, in the media, these men that are being accused. And let me tell you right off the bat that I have a tender place in my heart for women who go through sexual problems, sexual things, sexual deeds, misconduct, rape, molestation, being touched, being talked to in a certain manner. I do. Be very careful when you're accusing somebody. Make sure you're telling the truth. And I'm not saying that the women are lying. I'm not saying that. But you got to stop accusing people if they're not guilty, because your feelings are hurt, or you're trying to get a bankroll, if you're trying to come up and be famous or be the one that brought them down. Be careful. A lie will always be made manifest. You will always know the truth, whether it's now or it's later. I just have a problem with so many people saying so many things. And it's just like now all of a sudden everybody's talking, everybody's saying things. And I just pray, I pray to God that it's real, that it's honest, that you're really telling the truth, because woe be unto you if you are lying on people and smearing names and it's not the truth. That's all I wanted to say about it, because this is what Potiphar's wife did. It doesn't talk about what happened to his wife later on. It doesn't say anything. Mrs. Potiphar never gets mentioned again. So I don't know what happened to her, but she did lie on the man of God. Okay, let's move on. because God still favored him in the prison, because even the prison guard put him in charge of all the prisoners. And these prisoners came out of the king's castle. So it wasn't just JoJo on the street. It was people who were in the king's castle that did something for the king, and the king put them in prison so that he can make a determination as to what he was going to do to them. Okay. Verse 23 says, whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. So even as Joseph is going through these trials and tribulations, God still allowed it to prosper. And that's the key to all of this. As you're going through what you're going through, God is still going to smile down on you. God is still going to be there with you. God is still, he has your back. Even when it doesn't look like it, even when it doesn't feel like it, God still has your back. So I need you to keep going, keep trying, dust yourself off, shake it off, dust your shoulder off, do what you have to do to get up and keep it moving. Keep moving. Don't stop. I was about to break out into a rap song, but not appropriate for now. Okay, so while all of those trials were happening, God was with Joseph. While all your trials are happening, God is with you. Just reach out to him. Talk to him. Be honest with him. Let him know, hey, this is a hard one for me. God, I don't feel your presence. God, why? Talk to him. You can talk to God. Contrary to a lot of opinions, you can talk to God. You can ask him questions. Don't be scared to talk to God, and don't be scared to ask him questions. God is daddy. God is the father. So if you can talk to your earthly father or your earthly mother or your earthly guardian, you darn sure can talk to God. So please, 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 please don't let people tell you, don't you question God. Yes, you can. When you question your parents, okay, they may say, because I said so, you might not like the answer, but you can still have that conversation is what I'm saying. Let's look at the point. Let's bring it home. Why bad things happen. Number one, and I need you to look in chapter 45 for this. And these are just some of the answers I found just from the story of Joseph. We know there are many people who suffered in the Bible. You have Job, you have David, just to name a few. There are many people. There was the woman with the issue of blood. There are many, 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 many people, Paul, that suffered, Peter, that suffered in the Bible. But I just wanted to look at Joseph's story because it's kind of the season that I feel that a lot of us are in, when it's a back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back thing. But even in the back-to-back-to-back-to-back thing, God's still there, and he's still faithful. So I wanted to talk about that today. Let's look at it. Number one, God has a plan to preserve his people. God has a plan to preserve his people. Joseph talks about it in verse 5, because now everything has happened. He's gotten to the palace because he had the dream. He interpreted the dream for the king of what needed to be done for the next 7 years, and then the 7 years of lack, the seven years of prosperity, and then the 7 years of lack. He interpreted the dream. The king said, who do you think should run this plan that you have, what you saw in your mind? Joseph said, whoever you trust. The king looked at him and said, it's you. So now Joseph, who went from the pit to being taken, to being sold, to being accused, to being placed in prison and disremembered in the dungeon, is now second in charge across all of Egypt. He's number two. The king is the only one who has more power than him. That's it. That's all. Nobody else. So here's what I want to say to you. Even though you're going through it right now, even though it's hard right now, even though you're crying, your tears, you're crying out in agony, it's hurting so bad, you don't know how you can take your next breath, let alone face the next day, you can go from that situation to being on top of the world. All it takes is God and his timing. This is why I don't want you to give up. You are right there, a heartbeat, a breath away from your breakthrough. You are so close. This season has been so hot and so hard and so heavy because you are so close. And I'm talking to myself as I'm talking to you because I want to scream from the top of the hill sometimes because nothing is going the way that I want it to go. It's always something. I feel the agony, but your one breath, one heartbeat, one blink of an eye away from your breakthrough. So you've got to keep going. You are an overcomer. You are victorious. You have to keep pushing. God has a plan to preserve his people. Joseph is now second in charge of the land, and his brothers come to him because they run out of food. They come, and you have to read it because it's a lot to try to summarize so that I don't miss any points. So I definitely want you to read it for yourself. In chapter 45, Joseph reveals to his brothers who he is, and they immediately are contrite. They are begging for forgiveness. They are fearful that he's going to kill them. They're just like, oh, my gosh, we did so much dirt to this young man, to our brother. He's going to do it back to us. Be careful of when you get in power, you get in position, you get in place to try to punish those who punished you. You may have the power to do it, but don't do it. God's got you. You don't know the reason you had snakes in your circle, snakes in your face, snakes in your life. You don't know. And you want to put your hands on them. You want to take them out, choke them, break their necks, knock them up against walls. Don't do it. There's going to come a time in your life when you can put your hands on that person. I don't mean just physically. I mean, you can say something about them that's going to cancel their whatever it is that they're trying to get. You can physically stop them from doing something they wanted to do. You will have that power and that authority. I promise you, I see it. I feel it so heavy for somebody. But don't do it. Now, I'm not telling you to big them up. I'm not telling you to lay down and let them walk over you. That's not what I'm saying. But the negative authority that you'll have over their life, cancel it out and let God handle it. He can handle it way better than you can, and he's going to honor you for not giving into that. Every time I think about it, I think about the story of Jesus and Judas. Jesus knew Judas was going to betray him. He knew the hour was coming. Jesus got down on his knees and washed Judas's feet and then broke bread with him at the table. I don't know how Jesus did that. That is not an Andrea testimony. Unfortunately, God has been dealing with me. Oh, you have no idea how God has been dealing with me, with people who have done things to hurt me, betray me, lie on me, talk about me, backstab, stop my blessing. Well, so they thought they stopped my blessings, but they just came another way. And I've had to see them. I've had to talk to them, had to be in their presence. Now, I don't have the power and authority to stop anything or to do anything to stop them, but I do have these hands, though. And remember, I told you growing up, Angie, that chick right there, was the twin to the Incredible Hulk. I promise you. She got angry, and Hulk smashed. Angie smashed. She was the one, don't make me angry. You won't like it when I'm angry. That was her. That chick still lives in me. But thank God that God allowed Andrea to take control of that part of her. Because it's not easy looking at somebody on a daily basis that has done something to you. It's not easy not to say something to them, to curse them out, or to lay hands on them. And I don't mean spiritually. It's not easy. But I thank God. God gets the glory for that, because had it been Andrea 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15, 20, this would not be the story. I would not be here talking to you. I'd be behind somebody's slammer. I promise you. That's how angry I used to get. And I thank God every day for maturity. Now, I'm still not where I probably should be or probably need to be, but I'm so grateful that I'm not where I was. And that was for somebody too. So they're begging forgiveness. They're praying, please don't kill us. Joseph says to them in verse 5, but now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. God has a plan in your life to preserve his people right here, right now. There are people who are going through things. There are people that are crying out for a hero. There are people who are crying out for relief. There are people crying out. And something you have inside of you, your gift, your calling, your talent, that person needs. God wants you here. He took you through everything you went through, all the stuff you're going through, even at this moment, to help those people he has called you to. And if you had not gone through all the trials, all the tribulation, the crises in your life, if you had not, you could not help the people that are waiting for you. You would be no good to them. If you had not endured anything, if you had not grieved, had not mourned, have not been betrayed, backstabbed, lied on, talked about, had your house not been taken, had your marriage not fallen apart, had you not lost that child, had you not been mugged, whatever it was, you would not be a blessing to those people that are waiting for you. So God took you through all of that, the rape, the molestation, the abuse, verbally and physically. He took you through all of that so you could preserve his people, because he needed somebody in the physical to be there for them, and it's you, and it's because of your story. Number two, God has a plan to protect your posterity. God has a plan to protect your posterity, the near future, your future. Look at verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. All you go through, why the bad things happen, why you have tears, why you have pain, why you have tribulation, is to protect your posterity, the posterity of your family, the posterity of those connected to you. You have to save them. You have to save your family. You have to save your friends. You have to save those connected to you, those in business with you, your associates, those in ministry with you, your members. You had to go through it so you could save their lives so that they could continue forward. You never know, someone could have been thinking about committing suicide, but because of you, they did not. And now they go and meet whoever it is they're supposed to meet. They couple and have a family. They have children. You have now preserved their posterity. That line would have died off if you had not gone through what you had gone through and gone to that person and met that person. People in your family are better because of you. People in your friend circle are better because of you. People on your job are better because of you. This is why you have to go through. This is why bad things happen. And number three, God has a plan to provide his prosperity. God has a plan to provide his prosperity. This is for eternity. Look at verse 11. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. Even though you go through bad things, even though you go through turmoil, trials, tribulation, even though you go through the hard times, God has a plan to provide his prosperity. Prosperity is not only money. It's health. It's wealth. It's well-being. It's joy. It's love. It's patience. It's those fruit of the spirit that we talk about. That's prosperity. Peace. Whew. That in itself is worth everything. But his plan is to prosper you. That's why you have to go through the bad things, because if he had just given it to you, would you have appreciated it as much? If he had just given it to you, would you do the right thing with it? Would you do the right thing by him? No. We are virtually selfish people. It's the trials and the tests that make us different. Vain, yes, we are. I know I was. Until my vanity was taken away. Things happened in my life. Different illnesses and sicknesses and homelessness and all of this. Vanity